was drama and tension aplenty as the first UEFA Champions League finalist of 2026 was confirmed. Arsenal are back in the showpiece for the first time in 20 years. Bukayo Saka, the match winner in London, will analyse how the Gunners overcame Atletico and look ahead to the match which will decide their opponents in Budapest. Hello, I'm Chris Parrott and welcome to the podcast. Amazing scenes as we talk from North London. Bukayo Saka with an Arsenal scarf around his neck, walking off the pitch, full time, fully 10 or so minutes ago. Nobody's left. I'm joined by the European football expert Alvaro Romeo and Richard Connolly, who commentated on the game. Amazing scenes of celebration, Richard. Almost like they'd won a trophy this evening. That's what it means to Arsenal to be back in the Champions League final for the first time since 2006.
There's a little bit of disbelief almost, I think, that goes along with the joy. It's as if they can't quite get their heads around that it has actually happened.
Yeah.
The last few days, I think the momentum of their season has really taken a different path. When it just felt like maybe things were sliding away and all the brash talk about four trophies and everything had been reduced to two and the league title, the gap was closing. And then Arsenal produced an excellent performance with the same team that started tonight at the weekend. Manchester City made a slip up and now the team has got themselves to the Champions League final. And this promising season is going to have a special ending, whatever happens now between this moment and the end of the month in the Premier League. They are going to have a shot at the biggest trophy of them all. It could yet be the greatest season that Arsenal have ever experienced. And when you've not won a trophy for six seasons, and when you've not been in the Champions League final for 20 years, and when you've not won your domestic league for 22 years, that's why there's the disbelief. My goodness, after all this time, we've all grown so many grey hairs, or the hairs disappeared since the last time, but we're going to get a shot at it.
Yeah.
What now?
A night to savour, an I was there night at the Arsenal Stadium for every Arsenal supporter who are beginning now to trickle away on a wet, cold, early May evening. But my word, their hearts are warm. They'll be desperately booking their transport, trying to get their tickets for the final in Budapest. 3.5 weeks until they face either Bayern or Paris Saint-Germain. Atletico, Alvaro, were in it right until the final minutes. There were five most agonising minutes of added on time just to add to the drama at the end. Real pictures of devastation in the away end. They knew they were close because this semi-final, of course, both teams chasing this elusive trophy they're so desperate to win. So to lose a semi-final on such a tight margin will be a tough one for Atleti.
It's a tough pill to swallow for Atletico de Madrid. I'm pretty sure about that because, you know, everything was the Champions League for them. The only trophy remaining for them. They had the chance of qualifying for the final. I think they were very good in the first leg. They've been very good in the second leg. But we knew that this game was going to be decided on tight margins. And it was all very tight, really. I mean, the goal came to start with a minute before the halftime. And then in the second half, we have seen that the managers had a plan to counter each other. Simeone brought three players. Arteta automatically brought another three. They were waiting for each other to do a move, just to make a move to see what they have to do. And, you know, eventually Atletico had their chances. They tried to change the style from playing with Julian Alvarez, who is a shorter striker up front, to changing to Sorloth, looking for a target man. And, you know, they tried, they had a few chances. I think that Sorloth had probably the best one, at least from his position, but he couldn't connect the shot. And at the end, you know, it's glory for Arsenal and Atletico de Madrid. will be disappointed, but if they look at this in the future, they will say, hey, we reached the semi-finals and we put a great fight against the Premier League leader.
They certainly did. It was an absorbing, compelling second leg. We thought it would be tight, and thus it proved. It was, remember, 1-1 heading in to the second leg of this semi-final. That meant the equation was simple. Whoever won on the night in London would be heading to the capital of Hungary. Alvaro and Richard watched it for Match Day Live.
Comes to Trossard, he's still in the box, he goes for goal, it's a brilliant save, it's turned in by Saka, and Arsenal have the lead, and Bukayo Saka back in the Arsenal starting 11 in the Champions League, and he's found the opening goal. Arsenal have moved it down the left, Incapié, oh, the early ball, it's a beauty, and over the top by Gyökeres. Gabriel wins the challenge, lifts it in the air, the whistle goes! And for only the second time, Arsenal are in the Champions League final. For the first time in a generation, to the biggest final of them all.
Indeed, and for many Arsenal supporters witnessing, enjoying their club reaching the Champions League final for perhaps the first time, certainly in living memory, and for those old enough to remember 2006. Well, can they go one better after the loss to Barcelona in Paris? Richard, Bukayo Saka's goal ultimately the difference, and a very good Arsenal goal from their perspective. The shot from Trossard, and then really a kind of poacher's centre-forward finish from their captain on the night, at least their captain who started the game.
Yeah, when I think earlier in the match we'd been bemoaning the lack of a poacher when Miles Lewis-Skelly had run one practically along the goal line for somebody to tap in, and there'd been nobody there. But on that occasion, yes, Saka was alert. I think the key phase of that build-up to that goal for me was, again, the running of Victor Gyökeres. I mean, I haven't seen every Arsenal game this season by a long chalk, but I'd be surprised if he's had a better game. I know he scored twice against Atletico Madrid in the league phase, but my, this was a performance of leadership, of desire, of physicality. You know, he had a great chance to score in the second half. He missed it, but he kept going. He was such an outlet for them. When it got tight in the last few minutes, his running, his efforts won them free kicks. It bought them time, their greatest friend at that moment. He was so influential in the piece. And his running into the channel led to the cross where it came to Trossard for the shot to be saved for Saka to put it home. So he played his part in the key moment as well. I note that Declan Rice has got the UEFA's Player of the Match award. But my, Gyökeres had a very fine night for them tonight.
Wayne Rooney was speaking during the game on British TV, a legendary striker who won this competition, about how much his teammates would have appreciated his performance tonight, Victor Gyökeres, and you can understand why.
We've been saying this during the game a few times, especially in the second half. It became more apparent that Victor Gyökeres was the solution for Arsenal's troubles. When they didn't know what to do with the ball, when the defenders didn't know what to do with it, when the midfielders didn't have a clear pass, they sent it long to Victor Gyökeres. And there is one thing about him that I really like: the fact that every time he has a duel, there is a duel. You know what I mean? Sometimes you send the ball to a striker and he wins some and he loses some. But with Victor Gyökeres, he's always there. And Lenormand ended up just being... I think that he didn't give up, but he was clearly starting to lose the battles with Victor Gyökeres. That's why I think that Puvil was the second one marking him. And Puvil did a fine job as well. Mm. But the Swedish striker managed to give an option to Arsenal all the time. And I think that he deserves a lot of praises because, you know, if he had scored that goal, he had a glorious chance after 65 minutes, I believe, we would be talking about him like the MVP of the game, really. But, you know, there are many things that maybe we don't appreciate, but the fans appreciate, sorry, the coaches appreciate and the players appreciate. And what Victor Gyökeres did today is that kind of thing.
In the first leg, we had Andy Brassel alongside us, and he mentioned that Arsenal in 2026 have some of the similar characteristics to Diego Simeone's amazing Atletico team of 2014 and 2016, who came so desperately close in two finals to winning it. And again, did we see that tonight, Richard, that They are able to keep teams out when it really matters the most.
Yeah, they've got a pride in defending that marries up with the organisation and the physical qualities that the players have. Maybe best demonstrated by the moment when William Saliba perhaps slightly misjudged a header back to David Raya, and it looked like for all the world Giuliano Simeone was going to nip in, go round the goalkeeper and score. But Gabriel had his mates back, and though he got a little bit of a toe on the ball, it wasn't the cleanest of challenges. He knew he was second favourite to get there. It looked like Simeone was going to pass the ball into an empty net.
Yeah.
But Gabriel did everything he could to get close and just destabilise the player at the moment that mattered most. And he succeeded in playing the ball out past the post for a corner when it looked like a 100% equalising goal for Atletico Madrid. They never gave up on any situation, even when it looked unpromising. And in the closing minutes, they closed the game down with help from Jokeres. They tried to keep it deep in Atletico territory best they could. You know, slowed the game down, as teams would do in those circumstances, and made it difficult for Atletico to have meaningful time in possession.
Yeah, but I think Arsenal has changed over the last couple of years. I mean, they were perhaps a little bit more, how to put it, like fresher, more creative a few years ago when they had the likes of many young players, and they had many more than we forget about, but Emile Smith Rowe and the likes of this kind of players. They were young, they played for Arsenal, and they had the great displays in the Champions League as well, don't get me wrong. For example, I remember one in Sevilla when they destroyed Sevilla. They played really well in there. That was a couple of years ago. But the team has earned some competitiveness over the last years, and this is something that we have to praise as well, because obviously if we put Arsenal in front of the mirror of Bayern and Paris and the game they played the other day, you say maybe the other game has more goals, has been more fun for the neutrals, but at the same time we also have to rate that Arsenal hasn't conceded today. We also have to rate that they haven't lost a single game in the Champions League, yep, to date either. In the last 5 minutes of stoppage time in this game, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. And this is because they know how to compete in these situations. And these are things that they are under the belt of Mikel Arteta. Some players like Saliba, like Gabriel, who are natural-born competitors. And this is the new Arsenal. And this is the team that whoever plays the final are going to face in the Champions League final. And, you know, it's not going to be easy to beat them because they haven't lost the game in the Champions League so far.
The other thing is the experience, right? This group was at this stage last season, and they know what it felt like to lose in a two-legged semi-final when their dreams were right in front of their eyes. And the experience of being in these situations, the knowledge of how to behave, the knowledge that you don't want to feel like you did at this time last year, that's all a part of the learning process. Winning things doesn't happen quickly for teams generally. You build towards them. Certainly the best things need a body of work behind them. The victory over Real Madrid last season, in the end, the defeat over two legs to Paris, is a part of what we've seen tonight.
And in saying that, absolutely, Richard, but how impressive is it that they weren't in the Champions League between 2016-17 season and the 23-24 campaign? Yeah. That they've now, as you mentioned there,
quarter-final, semi-final, final.
That
3 years, yeah.
That is, we'll have to go through the record books, but I can't imagine that has happened too often after being away.
Only with Atletico, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember before Simeone came?
Yes.
And as soon as Simeone arrived, I remember he changed the team completely. And in the first season that Atletico was back in the Champions League, they reached the final straight away. I remember that it went like that. It went like that. But with Arsenal, something similar has happened. And Richard is totally right. I mean, you need to go through bad experiences, I suppose, to gain the experience. And, you know, today they have proven it.
And now, Richard, they have a UEFA Champions League final in Budapest to look forward to. You mentioned that on Monday, their nearest title challengers in England, Manchester City, drop points. So they are now clear and, in many people's eyes, clear.
Three games to go, and if they win them, they'll be champions.
Absolutely. I mean, potentially on for an unprecedented season in Arsenal's history. And I come back to a quote from Mikel Arteta before the game. He said that these are the moments that we want to live together. And he meant himself and the players, but also the fans. And you could see from the off, before the game, the pre-match atmosphere, the length of time after the game that they quite rightly celebrated this success. We're seeing some pictures of outside the stadium, groups of fans congregating, continuing to celebrate and chant. This is a big deal for Arsenal Football Club.
I mean, you don't get to play cup finals on your home ground, do you?
No.
That's the thing.
True.
So to play the second leg at home of the biggest club competition of them all and win it, it doesn't get any better than that for a home game.
Yeah.
It's the pinnacle tonight. It won't ever get any better than that on the club sense. Who knows? They might play great World Cup matches in the future at the Arsenal Stadium. I've no idea. But for Arsenal FC, that's as big as it gets, to be right there surrounded by all the people in all the same seats that they've been for the last however many years, and to witness that. That's the pinnacle.
And Alvaro, it's we're all football fans, as well as being lucky enough to work on the Champions League. It's all consuming as a fan as well as a player, right? You wake up this morning, you're nervous. You go to bed last night, you think, oh, this time in 24 hours, we might be in a Champions League final. And then you all experience that together, that massive outpouring of emotion after you feel like you've been through the ringer in the seats. And you could really feel that at the end, couldn't you?
Yeah, and there was, at the end, there was a togetherness, I think, a unity by the fans and all the staff, really, all the players. I think that Mikel Arteta has worked on that. Number one, probably by changing the anthem before the game to North London Forever, that song that gets played all the time. But many more things. I mean, he has made sure that Arsenal created a different culture, and he has succeeded on that. I mean, the stint of Mikel Arteta at Arsenal will be defined by trophies, by competitiveness, but also by the change of culture in Arsenal.
From an Atletico perspective, Richards, brilliant run themselves. I mean, this was on a knife edge.
It was.
They could easily have forced extra time. I think, in particular, to the chance that they created for Alexander Sorloth.
Yeah.
And we must mention Antoine Griezmann, who we know he's leaving the club. So this was his final UEFA Champions League match for now. Who knows? You never know.
But he's 35. You know.
He's heading to the MLS. We know. There was a really emotional moment between him and the rest of the Atleti players and their supporters at the end. And after a semi-final as tight as this, you have to feel for whoever loses the game.
Yeah, I mean, he played in the second of their Champions League finals under Simeone in 2016. He then scored a couple of goals in their Europa League final triumph 2 years after that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the two spells he's had with Atletico Madrid, I mean, he's been, you know, a total symbol of the club. You know, when they were renowned for defensive excellence, there was generally the impish creativity of Griezmann around there that meant that they were able to score the goals that gave them unassailable leads, because the guys behind wouldn't let anybody through.
Yeah.
I mean, tonight, again, for an hour, he just showed how quickly his technique is impeccable. His vision is two steps ahead of pretty much anybody else out there. The speed he's able to inject into the game by reading the game more quickly than anybody else is phenomenal. It was a joy for an hour to watch him play. He's very unfortunate to be on the losing side.
And he will be missed in the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah.
Next season, Atleti, of course, will be back. We know they've qualified in terms of their position in the Spanish top flight, but no final for them this season. There is for Arsenal. We can hear from the match winner, the tie winner, Bukayo Saka.
It started before the game, you know, when we were arriving on the coaches. I've never seen anything like it. And they pushed us and pushed us and pushed us, and they got this moment in the end, so we're celebrating it together. Sometimes it bounces for you, sometimes it doesn't, but you have to be there, and I was there, and it fell for me, and I got my goal, so glory to God, thank God, and we go to the final now. You know, this game is a high-pressure game. It means a lot to both sides, and we managed to manage it well and take ourselves to the final, so we're happy. It's a beautiful story, and I hope it ends well in Budapest.
Kaya Sack almost having to shout over Freed from Desire, which was playing in the background there, one of the footballing anthems, and Arsenal fans enjoyed it tonight. But Kaya Sack, then the difference maker, as he mentioned, he's heading to Hungary and he's hoping that it will be history at the end of the month. More post-match reaction to come from Arsenal against Atleti. Next, though, we're going to look ahead to the second semi-final, which takes place on Wednesday.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
This is always one of the great weeks of the European season, the second legs of the semi-finals. One down and we have the next instalment of what could easily become the highest scoring two-legged semi-final in UEFA Champions League history on Wednesday. If we get five goals in the game between Bayern and Paris, that record will be broken. And after last week's first leg, you'll understand why we've been scrambling back through the history books.
It's Kane against Safonov. Kane poised, 4 metre run-up, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. Bayern Munchen strike first in the semi-final. Cut it inside, shooting and scoring brilliantly. Incredible individual goal by Grisha Kvaratskhelia. Dembele with the corner. And in the near post, it's met by João Neves. Here's Olise, inside the box, goal. Brilliant from Michael Olise. He strikes right-footed and he beats Manuel Neuer. That was one heck of a spot kick from Ousmane Dembele. Paris Saint-Germain 3, Bayern Munchen 2.
Everyone is giving everything. We always speak about, you know, what you want to give your fans. I think from the moment you give this, it's very, very tough to disappoint.
Hakimi inside the penalty. Players arriving at pace. It's Kvaratskhelia! It's another goal for Paris Saint-Germain.
There were so many elements about that that were impressive. The pass from Vitinha, the run from Hakimi, and the finish from Kvaratskhelia, world class.
Dembele on the left side of the penalty, he shoots, he scores! It's five now for the European champions. They're running away with the semi-final.
So clinical, so deadly, so ruthless.
After 5-2, they celebrated like it was over, and we never shy away from the challenge.
Delivered towards Upamecano! It's in for Bayern! They have got the goal that they wanted! Luis Diaz inside the penalty here, turns and scores! Sensational goal by Luis Diaz!
The ball from Kane's excellent, but everything that follows it from Diaz is outrageously good.
This has been a Champions League epic! Paris Saint-Germain 5, Bayern Munchen 4.
Surely it's in one of the best matches I've played.
It was a high-intensity game, was a lot of individual battles, a lot of 1v1 duels. We was 5-2 down in the tie away from home and we found a way to claw it back to 5-4.
It was amazing. I think the best match I've ever managed as a coach.
Will we ever calm down? Will anything ever be the same again? It's one of the greatest games of all time.
Kevin Hatchard at the end there. We also heard from Vitinha, Josip Stanisic, Harry Kane, Vincent Kompany and Luis Enrique. It was an instant Champions League classic, that first leg. We're 7 days on now from it. I can scarcely believe some of the things that happened in it, Richard. After the game, we heard from Luis Enrique saying, I think we need to score 3 goals in the second leg.
Only?
Only to go through. You would imagine we're in for more of the same. Whether we get 9 goals, who knows? But in terms of the intent of the two teams, I can't imagine it'll be much different from the first leg and the Parc des Princes.
No, it will be exactly the same. The players and coaches are saying as much as at the press conferences prior to the game that they are teams built to attack, and they're going to stay true to that. I mean, I'm laughing because, you know, when you go to a game and it's good, there's a voice in your head saying, you know, I'm not going to get carried away with the hyperbolic reaction. But then sometimes you find yourself drawn into statements like Kevin's there. It's simply one of the best matches of all time. And he was right. It was right up there. It was akin to a video game at times, the way that the relentlessness of the attacking and the speed of the passing and the quality of the dribbling and the interaction between the players. It was incredible football, and we can only hope that the match on Wednesday is half as good, but as you said earlier, Alvaro, it may even be better. Who knows?
And the prize at the end for the winner will certainly be greater than the first leg, because they will be into the final. You mentioned about the pre-match press conference. Let's hear then from the Bayern boss, Vincent Kompany.
It's just the highest level, you know. You have good days and bad days. That's what I want to say. We played against each other four times now, and everybody has the last game in mind. But every other time we played against each other, the games were really tight one way or another. So sometimes the defenders are on top, sometimes the attacking players are on top. But you know that for 90 minutes, 95 minutes, you have to switch on. You have to be at your best level. I'm thinking always for these games, and there's no secret recipe, but I'm thinking always for these games is don't play the game the day before. You know, it's when the whistle goes, that's when you have to play the game. That's when you have to bring the emotions and everything with the necessary calm as well. But until that point, for me, I have only preparation, routine and calmness to give them. And when the game starts, then you think of the emotions you need for the game. That's a little bit how I would frame it.
Brilliantly described from Vincent Kompany. And if you use the adjective tight for a football match, you often think, Alvaro, cagey, not many goals. But yeah, he's absolutely right. There, after all of the dust settled on the first leg, there's only one goal that separates the two teams heading into the second leg.
Yeah, definitely. It was tight, but in a different way. It was tight because there were goals and no chances were missed. I mean, I'm going to give you some numbers that are incredible. I mean, Paris has scored 43 games, goals this Champions League campaign. Bayern has scored 42. Funnily enough, Barcelona in 99-2000 scored 45. It's something that I didn't have registered in my memory. But, you know, both sides, what I want to say with this is that they are very close to becoming the highest ever scorers in a Champions League campaign. And, you know, the quality of the players as well is incredible. Good to see that some of them are coming back. Fabian Ruiz played in the weekend. We know how important he is for Paris. We know that Musiala can only get better after his injury, and he's been getting playing time as well. I'm really excited about this game. Whoever wins, whoever loses, will have been worthy of this stage of the tournament, really.
And who was in that Barcelona team in the 99-2000 season?
Rivaldo was there, for sure.
And Luis Enrique was there.
Was there? True.
Pep Guardiola was captain, and he was there in midfield, Luis Enrique. But you can't really oversell this game, Richard. It is one, I think, that everyone has been looking forward to for a week. They will both know now that it's Arsenal in the final, if they make it through.
Yeah, and you can kind of see the narrative for the final already, in that we're going to be talking about a clash of styles to some degree, aren't we? Because here are, you know, the two swashbuckling giants of European and world football trying to outscore one another, and here's a team that's qualified for the final by securing its ninth clean sheet of the competition. So we have got a styles make fight, clash of styles for the final, lined up in front of us, and the winner of Wednesday's game will be the favourite, I'm sure.
And I just wonder as well, we had the semi-final on Tuesday between two, you know, huge clubs, but both desperate to win the UEFA Champions League for the very first time. And of course, the semi-final in the other side of the draw on Wednesday, Paris last season finally broke through that ceiling, won it for the first time, and Bayern, one of the most storied clubs in the history of the competition. So whoever meets Arsenal in the final as well, in terms of historically, both recent and long term, will have the trophy in the cabinet, whereas Arsenal won't. So that's going to be another narrative before we head to that game in Budapest.
Yeah, I suppose that if Arsenal ends up winning the Premier League, they will have removed a lot of pressure from their shoulders as well. I think that is one thing that they want to get this season, aside from winning the Champions League. That's going to be also the kind of thing that may have or may play a part in Arsenal's camp.
I've been asked, gents, for a prediction for Wednesday's semi-final second leg. Score and who's going through?
You see, I've been thinking that Bayern were the likely winners of the competition for a long time. And I'm going to do what everybody dislikes, and I'm going to get off my horse at the last minute, because I've got a funny feeling that Paris on the counter-attack are going to have enough and are going to go through. I'll be dull, and I'll say 2-2 on the night, and Paris to go through by the odd goal.
3-2 for Paris.
Okay.
Yeah, that will be my take.
3-2, 2-2. Both saying Paris Saint-Germain in the final. Who knows, though? I'll go Bayern, just because after extra time. And it's one of those matches you really won't mind if it goes to extra time.
No.
It'll be wonderful entertainment, and we have the whole game live on Match Day Live on UEFA.com, the Champions League app across North America on Sirius XM FC. We're on air 15 minutes before kickoff in the Fussball Arena München, where Paris, of course, triumphed last season in the final. We know this campaign that Arsenal are heading to the showpiece. So let's hear from their victorious coach, Mikel Arteta.
Well, it's an amazing night. To live this kind of moment with our people, our players, everybody at the club, it's just an incredible feeling. It makes sense, a lot of the things that we do and we go through when you just see so many happy faces and so many people proud of what we are doing. And it was unbelievable right from the beginning. The manner that our supporters waited for us outside the stadium, the energy, the passion that they put in, it was just great to witness. They set the standards and we tried to catch up with them immediately. And it's so good after so many years to give that joy back to them and see that pride in their eyes is beautiful to watch.
Real emotion, you could hear it, you could feel it there from Mikel Arteta, and apt after this evening that he has the final word on the podcast. My thanks to Alvaro and Richard as well for their company. That is all we have time for. And congratulations to Arsenal, who have made it through to the UEFA Champions League final in Budapest in just over 3 weeks' time. Their first trip to the showpiece for 2 decades. They will find out their opponents on Wednesday when Bayern and Paris meet for that semi-final second leg. As we've mentioned, full commentary on Match Day Live. It is not to be missed. The semi-final second legs are always a wonderful week. We'll see you then, but for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.